Those all-important joint practices with the Titans get underway tomorrow at Flowery Branch, and then the game is Friday night. And to break that all down on Chris Thomas Tonight, with you till 10 o'clock, it is Rhett Bryan of the Titans Radio Network. Rhett, appreciate you hopping on. Obvious place to start here is the team is coming in with the number one overall pick. How has Cam Ward adjusted to that role, and how has he looked so far at camp?
Well, Chris, thanks for having me on. He is one of those guys that, with his journey to the NFL, the moment does not seem too big for him. And his work ethic, which had certainly been talked about and documented, and we will see more about when the series Zero Star comes out here in a few weeks on Tubi TV, an entire docuseries about him. I think people will understand a little more. I'll give you just a personal example. He's one of the most competitive people I've ever been around, just in a couple of things I've noticed on and off the field and things I've been a part of. But we went to Raymond James Stadium Saturday afternoon to set up our booth for the broadcast, and Central Time, it was 12:40, 20 minutes to 1. He was on our bus with the equipment staff preparing for that ball game that night. Now, he wasn't out there working the entire time, but he said when he was at the University of Miami last year and they had a lot of night games, he'd like to go in early, just get his mind right and come out and warm up and get things rolling. And, you know, in the game the other night, there was a three and out pretty quickly, and then he was allowed to come out and with the ones and have a drive and did really nicely. I mean, he had three completions to Calvin Ridley for 50 yards. I think he was 5 of 6 for 67. No touchdowns, no picks, but it was a very efficient drive that ended up in a Tony Pollard touchdown run. But the young man's very impressive. He's wise and mature beyond his years. And, you know, look, is it going to be an overnight success? I don't know about that. He's going to have bumps in the road. He's going to have things that are going to show that he's a rookie. But, again, it just doesn't seem like the moment's too big for him.
A lot of interesting parts around him on the offense, a lot of young talent, but some vets as well, guys that we're familiar with here in Atlanta. Calvin Ridley, you mentioned Van Jefferson. What is the offense around Cam Ward?
I think they're trying to just figure out what all that looks like, because the thing that the Titans is going to be evident when the regular season comes is just how young this team is, how much turnover has happened, and the depth or lack thereof in several skill position sets. And you talked about some of the wide receiving core. I mean, Calvin Ridley is wide receiver one. I think they're trying to figure out who wide receiver number two is. It could be Van Jefferson, or it could be one of the two rookies they drafted in Elikai Emanuor from Stanford, the fifth round pick, or Chimray Dike from Florida, the fourth round pick. I can guarantee you that rookie tight end Gunnar Helm from Texas is going to be a pretty significant part of that offense with his frame at nearly 6'5 and a huge wingspan and catch radius. They have a plan for him in the red zone, without a doubt. They had a two-back approach with Tony Pollard and the third-year man Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears has a high ankle sprain and left that ball game Saturday night in Tampa and will be out for a while. But there's been a battle for the third running back spot between Julius Chestnut, who's been on the squad for 2 or 3 years now out of Sacred Heart, but the guy that was their last draft pick in this class of nine back in the spring, Kalel Mullings. 6'3", 238, big running back from Michigan, converted linebacker that played for the national championship Wolverines a couple of years ago. So, you know, they've got stuff there. Honestly, depending on what they keep with receivers, if they keep six, then you've got a logjam of guys trying to fight for one or two spots. If they keep seven, just one spot. And I don't know if Xavier Restrepo is in that mix. His main target at Miami last year. But they're trying to figure all these things out. Chig Okonkwo is tight end number one. He's into contract year, fourth year there. But Gunnar Helm is really on his heels to be maybe tight end one by the time the season's done. He's really fast-tracking it so far.
How do you feel that Coach Callahan is done with all this transition that you mentioned?
I think 2024 was a serious learning experience for him. You know, he has a club that wins three ball games and basically by that earns the number one overall pick. But he, in meetings I've had with him, he sat down with everyone involved through multiple meetings over the first part of the offseason to discover and explore what works and what didn't. And, you know, it's easy to say what your goals are. It's harder to put plans into action, but he wanted to see what the best courses of action were and the learning moments and takeaways that they could make actionable and put into place, you know, to try to get this thing better. And so Brian Callahan, I think, in my opinion, is perfect for this whole Cam Ward experiment being the first overall pick, just because he has experience with that in his time, his 5 years he was with the Bengals when they took Joe Burrow number one overall, and that seemed to work out well for them. So he's got some learning moments and takeaways from there. He has access to all of those audio files and meetings and things that he had with Burrow his rookie year that he can glean from and apply maybe some things he learned that are mistakes and things to correct. But he's got a lot on his plate. Mike McCoy comes in as a veteran assistant to help him take some of that stuff off of his plate. And then he hires John Bones Fossil to run the special teams phase of things, one of the best in the game to do it. And he's trying to figure out who the gunners are and who the returners are and the personal protector for the punter. But he's surrounded himself with a lot of change there, and I think he's focused on the right elements of this. And Cam Ward is the centerpiece of all this.
Talking with Rep Brian of Titans Radio Network here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock. On the other side of the ball, what is Michael Penix Jr. looking at tomorrow and Wednesday? Obviously, we know, led by Big Jeffrey Simmons, a couple of other names that we know, Sebastian Joseph Day, Arden Key, those are familiar names to NFL fans. But how has the defense looked so far?
It's, you know, first of all, when you're talking about training camp and when the shoulder pads and the pads come on, it's been, I think it's pretty much undefeated that the defense always has the upper hand on the offense in those first several days of padded practices and camp. And that's kind of what it has been in Titans training camp prior to their trip to Tampa and now to Atlanta. You mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. They drafted Tavondre Sweat last year out of Texas, who had a very solid rookie year that he's trying to build off of. And Arden Key wants to be more than just a situational pass rusher, which has really kind of defined his career so far. I think he had 6.5 sacks for the Titans last year. But one of the acquisitions that they brought in, first of all, a waiver wire pickup that they brought in just 2.5, 3 weeks ago is Jahad Ward, who is a veteran presence. But signing Draymond Jones from the Seattle Seahawks on a 1-year deal is going to prove to be very valuable. He was very active the other night in the limited reps that he got. I think the big thing is, do Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat play? And does some of the other gentlemen we mentioned play? But the other part of it is, for what Michael Penix Jr. will see across from him, is what is the depth of the interior defensive line past those names? Because they're still trying to find out who is the best rotational people in that. They released Keandre Coburn after about a handful of days in camp, who's a veteran presence. They could eventually end up re-signing again, but they've got a bunch of undrafted guys that they're trying to figure out what to do with. Cam Horsley from Boston College is an undrafted guy who had a really nice career for them. And Isaiah Rakes is a guy that had several tackles the other night, who's an undrafted fella. But the depth is where we're at with this Titans team, but it's in particular with what Michael Penix Jr. and that Falcons offensive line will see Friday night.
It's been a sight for sore eyes here at Falcons camp at Flowery Branch, Rhett, that the Falcons, particularly on defense, they're getting after it in a way that they have not in previous years. There's a newfound life, a newfound energy, a newfound spark. There have been fights at training camp, which is not a staple of an Atlanta Falcons team, at least not of recent vintage. What type of energy are the Titans bringing? Are they young and hungry? Or are they ready to get after it?
They are definitely that. They're definitely young. They're definitely hungry, and they're ready to get after it. There was a couple of skirmishes in the joint practice they had with Tampa last week, and Jeffrey Simmons was right in the middle of all of that. You're right about Atlanta, though. You'd know this better than I would. They've tried to make a run at a pass rusher, seems like every draft for I don't know how long, and, you know, had some success in some spots in between. You know, they've been looking for that, and you can tell they've drafted well. That Terry Fontenot has really put together some nice classes for that. So I know this Titans offensive line has its hands full, and that's something that has been a point of emphasis that really needed some drastic improvement. They bring in Dan Moore Jr., the veteran who's only 26, but it was a starter in all but two games for the Pittsburgh Steelers at left tackle. That allowed them to bump and move last year's top pick, J.C. Latham, to right tackle, his more natural position. They bring in a veteran, Kevin Zeitler, to plug in at right guard. Lloyd Cushenberry passed his physical today, is off of the PUP list. And then Peter Skoronski, who they drafted a couple of years ago, is getting better as we speak. So they're trying to protect that investment of Cam Ward. And I would not be surprised if they, when they lock horns tomorrow morning in Flowery Branch, that there's a couple of fistfights involved. Because it's part of it is just teams get to this point in the preseason, they're tired of hitting the same color jerseys, and they're anxious to get after somebody else in a different one. But I've been reading about the Falcons, and there are some things that I'm reading there that have not been characteristic of Falcon teams in the last handful of years.
Well, and it is a welcome sight, I'll tell you that, Rhett. Before I let you go, an off-the-wall question here, but you sparked my brain here when you mentioned the need for pass rushers and trying all sorts of different ways to acquire one here in Atlanta. We finally did the thing that we never do. And what that is, Rhett, is take a guy who is a proven commodity from a college down the road that's had some pretty good success of late. For whatever reason, the Falcons have been allergic to drafting high-potential, high-profile Georgia Bulldogs, whether it hasn't worked out for one reason or another or otherwise, but they finally did it this year in drafting Jalen Walker. Is there a similar sentiment with Titans fans in terms of UT, in terms of getting players from Tennessee? Is that something that matters to Titans fans? Because it was a bone of contention here in Georgia for the longest time.
Well, let me say this. Jalen Walker, I don't have to tell you where you are, but Jalen Walker is one of a couple of three guys that would pin their ears back and go get the opposing quarterback for the Bulldogs and did a nice job of it. In terms of this, it's always, there's a huge, obviously a large percentage of college fan base here is the University of Tennessee. So anytime they draft or bring in a volunteer, it's always met with, a warm reception. It just depends on kind of the, how things fall into place. It's not always just draw a line to the geographic team up the road. As you well know, they just put together these draft boards and look at the best guy available in the pod of players as rounds and picks fly off the board. I think there are a lot of Titans fans that would have loved to have the chance to have James Pierce Jr., the former Vol that was a high draft pick this year. But I think the Titans brass saw what they needed more was a quarterback, and they've saddled themselves to Cam Ward. And with everything so far, I think that could prove to be a lot of fun. They just got to build things up around them.
All right, Rhett, appreciate the time. We'll be hearing you on the broadcast and checking you out with the rest of the media crew at Flowery Branch this week. Thanks for popping on.
All right, man. Have a good show. Appreciate
you. Thanks, Rhett. That is Rhett Bryan of the Titans Radio Network. When we get back, you're going to hear from one of the players we've been talking about a lot today. That is DeMarco Helms. He joined our boys, Dukes and Bell. We'll also let you hear some of what went down after practice today at Flowery Branch. So all Falcons conversation coming up to close out the 7 o'clock hour next.